Hey kids, guess what time it is? Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is Season 4, Episode 11 of Sticky Pickles. Spacey Casey and Secret Dish. Pickles and the people who get stuck in them. Spacey Casey. Okay. Carol, what is that about?
All right. Okay. So our protagonist in this story, or this pickle, is Yuri, is his name.
Yuri.
And Yuri wants, or is, writing a memoir about his childhood. He is, like, in his 50s right now, and if you were being honest, you'd probably say, I want to do something important with my life. I want to do something, you know, that matters.
Yeah. Know that feeling.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people talk about writing their biography or autobiography or whatever, you know, memoirs. But he really feels his story is truly unique because his childhood was a little bit unusual. So he's a kid from the 80s.
Wait, he's in his 50s and he's a kid from the 80s? Oh, isn't he grew up in the 80s? He wasn't born in
the 80s. So okay. He grew up in the 80s. He doesn't remember when he was born. He doesn't have that yet. The tunnel!
Okay. I was like, I'm a kid from the 80s, but oh yeah, I'm not into my 50s yet. Yeah.
So he's like, you know, he's like 10 years old, that kind of thing in the 80s. And his mom, Casey, was alien crazy. Like, drank the Kool-Aid, went all in.
Oh, visited Roswell kind of thing.
Her thing was, it was sparked by this copy that she found in like a charity shop of Gray Barker's, the title is They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. and the book pushed the idea of men in black, you know, who appear at UFO witnesses and who warn people to keep, you know, shtum, like the movie.
Okay, I was going to say, we've got 2 weeks in a row of Will Smith references.
That wasn't intended. This is from the 1950s, this book. This is the real book, actually.
Here comes the men in black. Okay.
Yeah. Yuri's mom basically became a kind of, you know, just drank the Kool-Aid for this and really believed there was a government conspiracy.
Area 51, all that good stuff, right?
Yeah. And she wasn't afraid, though. You know, she wanted to commune, like, on a galactic scale.
Was she watching some Star Trek? Was she like, Captain Kirk has the right idea, getting with all these folks?
Probably. So, you know, like, so there were a few routines that they had. Mm. And at the time, Yuri didn't know they were weird.
And I'm guessing she named her son after Yuri Gagarin. Is that how much of a space nerd she is?
She's pretty spacey.
I was going to say, also being a space nerd, I immediately was like Yuri Gagarin? I mean, the first man in space?
Okay, so let me just tell you a few things that he remembers, right? This is why he wants to write his memoir. So every full moon, Casey and Yuri had to go out in the garden and welcome in the alien life forms.
What?
So no, really. So they would have to dance around this statue covered with like old Christmas lights, and she played records backwards because it was the closest thing she could get to the alien language.
Oh, lordy.
And then every night she would read him books of sightings, you know, and Area 51 stuff, and encouraged him to like paint the scene.
Okay. All right.
And the killer for me, though, is she actually put green food coloring in all their meals, right? So it was literally green bread, green chicken.
Well, that's just Dr. Seuss, green eggs and ham. That's nothing to do with aliens.
But she just thought, like, this will help the aliens adapt to the food, right? And it'll help us connect when they arrive.
Jeez.
And so Yuri became older and told people about this. People were like, that's fucked up, man!
That ain't normal. That ain't normal.
Yeah. They grew up in the middle of frickin' nowhere.
Well, even if you didn't, I mean, you only know your own family, right? So you don't know it's not normal until you meet other people and they're like, no, we
That's
don't do
so
that.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the problem now is, okay, so, you know, it's great. Write your memoir, Yuri. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Problem is, mom. Well, she was alien crazy, like crazy, according to Yuri, for at least a decade.
Yeah.
Until suddenly, she just snapped out of it.
You know, that does happen, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't know why, though, right? She destroyed all the evidence. So all the pictures of their ceremonies, their green dinners.
The men in black got to her.
The books, the notes, the green food coloring.
They did the little flashy thing.
And all the paintings that he made, right, that she made him make, like, they're all gone.
Yeah, yep, men in black.
And he once brought it up to her. He was like, hey, remember when we were kids? And she just literally just changed the subject, does not want to talk about it. So Yuri's view here is that she's in complete denial about what happened. And Yuri loves her, right? They're not estranged or anything.
Yeah, like, I have a weird mom, but she's mine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is basically the sitch, right? He loves his mom, but he wants to tell his story. And he doesn't know what to do.
Okay. Oh, I love this. I love this because this is like a memoir dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes give memoir workshops, girl, so I don't know if you know that.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think do no harm is always the way to go with a memoir. And there are different schools of philosophy on whether or not, like, it's, you know, is your story, do what you want, is one people's perspective. I'm more on the side of if you're going to bring somebody in and they're identifiable, like, you don't have to have them, like, review what you wrote, although you can do that. But I think you owe them a heads up and, like, you should get their consent and that they should know sort of what your intent is. Not everybody agrees with that because there's a big.
Okay, so. Yeah. Yeah, if I said my intent, if I channel Yuri.
Yes.
And I say my intent is just to tell the story as I remember.
Yeah, and honestly, that's like a sit down with mom and being like, mom, I want to tell the story, you know, from my perspective, you're not going to agree with everything I wrote, but my goal is not to pillory you in public. Like, I'm not going to do any, I'm just going to tell what I remember, but, you know, it was unusual and people have wanted to know about it. And if mom's like, you know, how dare you know that was our secret stuff. Well, there are things you could do. You don't have to publish it under your real name. That's one option.
Yeah, he could do a pseudonym. I can play act what he's afraid of. So
yeah.
I can be. So you can you be Yuri. You ask me, right? I'm mom.
Yeah, so mom, I've been asked by a lot of friends to do a write-up about my childhood because our alien worshipping was kind of unusual and people.
What alien worshipping?
Well, I mean, do you remember when we used
nope.
to do? Well, that's interesting. Well, then that's great. If you don't remember it, then I'll write it up so maybe it'll help you remember.
But then you're saying I did something I don't remember.
Well, it's something I remember.
What evidence do you have? This is what he's afraid of. I'm not saying this is what she would do.
Yeah.
This is his huge fear.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Why would you,
well, you don't
taint my reputation, make me look like a crazy nut, shit mother.
Well, if that's seriously, like, if this conversation happens and that's what she says, I would seriously encourage Casey to use a pseudonym. Like, unless he wants to burn that bridge with his mother, which that's
Yeah, I think that's a smart idea because if she's in complete denial about any alien stuff, like if he says, I ate green food for the aliens as his title to his memoir or whatever, his secret memoir.
Yeah, as a kid. Yeah.
She wouldn't be looking for that because she's denying that aliens even, you know, she's not like, doesn't sound like she's hovering around that space, right? That she'd land upon it.
I mean, often when you tell like a story, a memoir story, if it's a detail with like a sibling or a friend or something that happened, you can change the name and make it like an amalgamation. Like, memoirs often do this. It's never memoirists are not journalists, right? There is a lot of leeway in like combining personas into making them into like one character, changing who did what in your life story. That's all kind of normal-ish. But when it comes to like mom and dad or the people who raised you, he could change it and make it like a fictional grandmother, but that doesn't quite have the same impact as like my
right.
mom. Yeah. So that might be.
It's like his story. So you change some of the facts. This kind of becomes fiction-y and that's not what he's after.
Yeah. That's a tough one when it comes to talking about parents. It really is.
What if, what if he dresses up as an alien, goes to the house, right? And just to see if she goes, oh my God, you finally arrived. Does the light show? I mean, she's older, right? She's like in her 70s now.
I am totally avoiding the why does she take? Did you notice how much I completely did not even touch that with a 10-foot pole? Because it could be the Men in Black got to her, in which case, oh my God. Or it could be she's got dementia or like of some kind and she has literally forgotten and that's just sad. In which case, kind of go for it, Casey, because she's not going to remember. Yeah, or three, she's doing the deep denial thing, which is that she's like horrified by her past behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But that's super weird to pretend that it didn't happen with the person who was there with you. Like, that's just weird. So, but I mean...
But he could have cameras. He could film the arrival of the aliens. The fake arrival.
Are we having two different conversations? I'm like, why, what? And you're like, yeah, but the aliens... Wait, are you the mom? Am I?
I'm just thinking if she suddenly reacts to the aliens and said, like, finally, you're here, she will then maybe flood back, get into it, tell him everything, and he has a better memoir. And she can't deny it if she's like, you know, kissing the toes of, like, you know.
Yes, but depending on how he wants to write his memoir, if he... You know, there's going to be a tone that he brings to it.
It's a good twist at the end.
Yeah. I mean, it would be, it's a great ending because often, like, how the hell do you end a memoir? You're looking for, like, a bookend, right?
Yeah. 30 years later.
Yeah.
My mom showed up.
My mom admits that aliens were real because I forced her into believing it. That's totally great. Is he going to write this memoir from the point of view of, like, sympathetic to his mom, or is he going to be like, my mom was totally wackadoo?
Well, if you asked him, he would say, I'm going to be honest and tell the story. I don't want to sugarcoat it, and I don't vilify her. She's a great mom. She was just seriously into aliens.
Yeah, but like, was his point of view, this was harmful to me, or was it this was all in good fun and it was quirky but fun? You know what I mean?
Or not even, just this happened. This is real. This kind of crazy shit happened.
He's not going to bring any point of view to that at all. He's just going to do like a total neutral.
What artist can answer that question, Maria?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's going to be a tone. He's going to bring some kind of tone to it. So I'm just like, what?
Sometimes the tone finds you, though.
So I would say. On our next episode of Writing Memoirs with Kroll and Maria, we're going to workshop Yuri's story.
Okay, I say just wait till she passes. Start writing it, don't publish. Or actually, to your point, publish under a pseudonym, and then when she passes, you can go, hey, you know, it's really me, Yuri.
Yeah, I mean, like, if she's really old and he's like, she's probably got a 5 years left or something. I hate making that kind of calculus, but like, if it can wait and he doesn't have like an agent banging on his door and a publisher being like, we need this tomorrow, it can wait. That's often, like, especially when writing about parents, people often prefer to do that kind of thing. But if he's got to write it tomorrow, like, pseudonyms the way to
you
go.
Heard it from Maria. Hold off on your art because it makes people uncomfortable. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
There's a line to toe with memoirs. I'm just saying, if you're using your real name, ask me how I know.
Ha! Good end. Do. Oh, brilliant.
Oh, my God. Okay. That was the art workshopping section of our podcast.
So funny.
Ay. Speaking of hard, yeah.
May I refresh my water and be right back?
No, you may not. Is it dyed green? Oh.
All right, Lady M.
Yeah.
Lady M, tell me your sticky pickle secret dish.
So my sticky pickle secret dish. So there are two friends that go way back from childhood, and their names are Winona and Margot.
Winona and Margot.
Margot. And Winona and Margot live in a big, big city. Pick a city for me, Kroll. Pick a big, big city.
Beijing.
They Winona and Margot live in Beijing.
All right.
They're now in their late 20s. One of their favorite things to do is to go to restaurants together because there's a bazillion of them in a huge city like Beijing, just so many. And Winona especially prides herself on being like quite a foodie with a discerning palate. She has traveled the world. She's eaten at Michelin-starred restaurants before. She likes to try and get in at new restaurants with, like, the hottest new chefs or, you know, the award-winning chefs, like, as they open to kind of be like, have they found their legs yet? You know.
Foodie trendsetter, you know, front of the crowd.
Yeah. And Winona always brings Margot with her. And I say brings with because Margot is not, Margot loves to just kind of tag along. She doesn't follow the latest food news, but she likes to eat. And yep. she's good company with Margot. Like, they're good old friends, so they have nice conversations. So Margot's like, yeah, I mean, I'll pay my way. And Winona pays her own way. And
in our world of technology, it's a bit like that guy who always has the latest gadgets and then someone who just uses a computer and gets the job done.
Yeah, like, former friend of mine, we're not enemies anymore. I just don't work with this guy anymore.
Fuck him!
Fuck that guy. Like, he was super into gadgets. He came into work one day, remember when this was a thing, with Google Glass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was walking around the office with that on his face. And I was like, I would never own one of these, but I do want to try it out. Tried it and gave it right back.
Yep. I saw a guy once wearing them, and we were at an event. But the thing was, is he was also wearing those fucking shoes with toes in them. Those, like, runny toe shoes. Fucking hell.
The Vibram five finger toes with Google Glass.
With Google Glass, so that tells you everything.
That man does not want to get laid ever for the rest of his life, is what... Walla weewa. Okay. Sorry, I just need to let that image marinate in my head for a minute.
Imagine if you wore that to bed.
Nope.
Just the shoes and the glasses.
All right, we're done.
The shoes would be worse than socks, okay? They would be worse.
No. Oh, no. Oh, we need to end the podcast right here. I don't want to finish my story. Oh, God.
Come on.
Go on. Okay, so yes, Winona is the trendsetter foodie friend, and Margot is the good friend who's happy to tag along, who's not as into it, but like an obliging happy friend. Right, so Winona is like, they've gone to a bunch of these. They both got their opinions on places they like to go. They sometimes, you know, go back to places that are like their old standards, but generally Winona's leading the charge on, these are the new places I want to go. And Winona notices the more that she goes to these restaurants that her vocabulary is starting to evolve. So she's not just a foodie, but she's becoming like a person with sophisticated opinions.
Tell me exactly how this Kobe beef was raised.
Yeah. Yes, and I do appreciate the mouthfeel of this duck fed ganache as it, you know, melts. I don't even know. I'm not a foodie, so I'm just... I like food, but I don't know how to write about food. But yeah, Winona does. Winona decides, you know, I'm going to all these hot places. This is not just a hobby anymore for me. Like, this is becoming like who I am as a person. So I think I'm going to go beyond just like posting pictures on Insta. I'm going to actually start like a proper food blog.
It's like a kind of like almost like a critic, like a food kind of, this is place was great. I love this dish. Didn't like that one.
Yeah.
Whatever, that type thing.
I don't
on
know.
A blog.
Yeah.
Or something.
So you and I were talking a little bit about like going back to 2006 at the back, before we started reporting this podcast, about like those days. Do you remember Yelp?
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember when Yelp was like a big deal for a little while, where like people would write really involved,
huge reviews?
Reviews. I was one of those people for a while. But like, so Winona decides like that's what she wants to do, because again, she's getting the vocabulary and she's got the sophistication and experience to be able to bring perspective to, you know, to be able to compare this place to that Michelin starred restaurant, or this plating to that plating, or that chef to this chef and his newest endeavor, her newest endeavor, whatever. And Margot's like, I'm really happy for you. I'm happy to be along for the ride on this.
I'm happy you're happy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy for you. Please pass the wine.
and the straw.
And yes. And I'm going to put a little bit of Coca-Cola in my red wine.
Oh my God.
My grandfather did that. It was.
Why?
I think it's like an old Greek man thing. I don't know. I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, wow. Like putting soda in... Like, it was table wine. So it wasn't like he was ruining a good bottle of Bordeaux or something. This was like table wine, and he would dilute it with either Coca-Cola or ginger. I don't know this, but I know he's not the only one who did that. Anyway, wow.
Yeah.
Super digression. Sorry, Papu. He's mad at me in heaven, wherever he is. So,
stop talking about these things.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, leave me out of your podcast. So Winona finds that the more she's writing these food blog posts, she is getting a little bit of a following.
People are like,
this person knows what she's talking about. And not only that, she's got a good opinion and she's putting in the hard work of finding these really hidden spots. I mean, in a big city like Beijing, it's not easy to find places nobody else has ever really discovered, because, like, you know, everybody's everywhere, right?
Or which one's the best one to try, right?
Yeah.
And having someone who's a super foodie going, if you need to eat, if you want egg rolls, go here. They're amazing.
Yeah. Or whatever. So, you know, Winona's, she finds herself getting a bit of a following to the point that sometimes when she and Margo are going to restaurants, they're getting their meals comped by the restaurants because they know who Winona is. And Margo's like, oh, shit. This is great. I'm getting the full flight that goes with this meal.
Yeah. Maybe, she's like the wingman and she's in.
And I might get the extra dessert, you know, like that. That's amazing. And Winona's feeling really, really proud of herself because the more she does these food blog posts, she's trying to maintain her integrity about not letting like the comped meals sway her, you know, even and she finds that Margo's kind of getting like over the top with her effusive praise on these places, especially if the food is free. And Winona's like, I'm not going to let that sway my opinion. I'm going to be as neutral.
It's a fucking joke, though, right? I mean, if a pharmaceutical company was paying someone to do a review, right, or saying, hey, you can have these drugs for free and you just go and review it. And they were found to say, oh, you know, effusive praise. You'd all be like, oh, what? Get the hell out of town. You're not allowed to do that. But with restaurants, somehow that's okay.
With restaurants and many, many things in the blogosphere, it's like
clothes, fashion.
Yeah, you find a review online and it'll be like this, you know, they gave me some free whatever it is. And here's all my praise. Here's two sentences of like a minor quibble. And then the rest of it is like, yeah, I recommend it. It's like, okay, thanks. That said, Winona's still, she's doing a good job of being like, if this place is legit or not. Like, she actually is really trying. And while she's building her food blog, she's, you know, she's not a professional writer. She's not a professional blogger, but she's learning as she goes. So she's learning how to, like, maintain her website, do online marketing. She's even picked up, like, some SEO. She's even reaching out to local businesses to get, like, sponsorships and stuff. Like, she's...
Yeah, she's schlepping.
She's making this into a real business for herself. Like, it's starting to bring in some cash. So after, like...
The dream.
Yeah, I know, right? After a few years of this, and, like, she's actually able to quit her day job. Like, that's how much money she's bringing in doing this food blogging. Like, legit the dream. She decides, again, to make a real go of this, and she thinks to herself, all right, Beijing's played out. I'm done here. I need to move to a smaller, cheaper, less discovered city and really make it mine. I'm talking significantly small. She goes from Beijing to Buffalo. She's like, I hear the wings there are amazing. And that's a little Buffalo joke for us Americans.
I'm glad you explained it. Hilarious.
Thank you. I'm moving to Buffalo, and I'm going to really make it mine. Like, I'm gonna discover every square inch of these places. I'm going to find not just the restaurants, but, like, the good kitchens, like, the places where workers get cafeteria meals, and I'm going to find the best one.
Yeah. I'm going to be the go-to person for any food you want to get in Buffalo.
Yeah, and, like, the Buffalo surrounds for all of upstate New York and maybe a little bit of Canada. Like, yeah, that's what she's going to do. But, like, that's far from Beijing. That's, like, on the other side of the planet. Margo ain't going to Buffalo. Margo's like, I'm good here in Beijing. Thank you. So Winona picks up her things and she moves to Buffalo. And she and Margo stay in touch. You know, as Winona is making Buffalo her thing, she's like, you know, it's a bit of a rocky start, but hey, how's life in Beijing, Margo? And Margo's like, same old, same old. Things aren't the same without you. I'm still going out to eat, but, you know, without my lucky charm, Winona here, you know, those noodles just don't taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
Winona, on the other hand, she is working hard at recreating her previous success. And with a lot of elbow grease and a little bit of good luck, she's on her way to becoming the preeminent
Queen of Buffalo.
The Queen of Buffalo. And it's kind of amazing. Like, she's getting a lot of attention from local and regional press.
Right.
People are starting to come to Buffalo to, like, ask her opinions on things. Documentary type folks are like, hey, I hear Buffalo is one of the up and coming foodie scenes in America. We know the perfect person to give us the down low on the best spots in Buffalo, and that person is Winona. So, like, she's got a good reputation.
So she's successful. She's doing well. She's about to arrive.
Yeah.
And Margo's like, meh.
Margo misses her, but Margo also is telling her that nothing's going on in Beijing. Like, nothing's going on. Every time Winona asks, it's like, meh. So Winona says, Margo, you sound kind of down, and I miss you. So why don't you come stay with me at my huge house here in Buffalo? Like, I bought a whole ass house with my blogger money. It's a gorgeous house. It's like a 6-bedroom house with like 20 bathrooms.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, how
20 bathrooms.
I don't know.
The best.
It's the best. Like, you can take a shit in like 5 bathrooms at once. Like, the ratio is just insane. I knew it was going to come back to poop. It was amazing how that was going to happen. And Margo's like, okay, I mean, I'll just buy a ticket. And if you're going to put me up for free, that sounds great. So I'll come and visit you. Winona picks up Margo at the airport. They're catching up. Like, it's been ages since I've seen you. Hugsy, hugsy, kisses, kisses. So happy to see you. Winona shows Margo around her house, and she's like, here's one of the guest bedrooms that you can stay in. You've got your pick, but this one's the best one, I think. And she notices as Margo is unpacking that there's like a very fancy camera in there that Winona's like, huh, I didn't know you were into photography, Margo, because like, I don't remember you ever being more than like using a cell phone. Margo's like, yeah, I started getting into like DSLR photography after you left. I really like want to take better pictures of the food that I'm eating. Like, I want it to be really, really scrumptious looking.
Okay.
And Winona's like, well, that's interesting. That was super not what you were into when I was around, but I guess, you know, people change. The next morning, you know, they're eating breakfast, and of course it's amazing breakfast because Winona's got the best breakfast. And Margo goes, so, I want to tell you something, Winona. After you left, I found myself really missing the life that we had. So I kind of wanted to recreate that for myself. And
I too have become a food blogger.
Yeah. So Winona's jaw drops a little bit, like, really? And Margo goes, yeah, here, let me show you. And Margo has been writing under a pseudonym, so that's a little thread that's been carried out through our podcast today.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Winona looks at it, and she's like, her jaw drops in the bad way. Because
why?
She sees a whole bunch of turns of phrases that she, Winona, uses, sprinkled liberally throughout Margo's writing. She sees a lot of the sponsors that she had worked so hard to get also sponsoring Margo's work. She thinks that Margo has basically ripped off a lot of the work that she has done and is totally riding her coattails.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then the next words out of Margo's mouth makes Winona just about scream. She goes, since I'm here with you in Buffalo, I would love if you would show me all the best spots here in Buffalo, like all the best secret eateries. I would love to take pictures there. Could you be my guide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Winona's like, okay, I'm in a secure place with my career. Margo is not realistically in a place to upend me. Like, her blog is sort of ripping mine off, but it's not nearly as good as mine.
Yeah, this probably doesn't have as much content.
And she's just not as good a writer as I am. Like she, you know, but at the same time, this is super not cool. I don't own blogs, thinks Winona. Like, I don't own the blogosphere. I can't tell Margo not to do this. Like, who am I to say? But at the same time, this feels kind of shitty. So what do you think she should do?
If I do a parallel to podcast land, there is a podcast.
Oh, dish. Yep.
That takes a lot of our riffs.
And us as Sticky Pickles or us as in...
us as in Smashing Shakur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They think it's super funny. And the thing is, it is, right?
Do they have a week of picks or something instead of pick of the week? Or what's the...
No, they have pick of the weeks. They have our same music. Yep.
Oh, the bastards.
Well, this is how I'm going to get back to them. I'm not going to name their podcast on the show.
Yeah.
But whatever. And they're doing it kind of, they'll say they're doing it to honor us or whatever. And I've gone through it a bit. Like, at first I thought it was really cute and funny. And then I kind of found it really irritating.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's a one trick pony and you're doing it every week. Come on.
Get your own ideas.
But then I thought, hey, actually, we should be flattered. Like, you know, they're not us. So.
And that's you know, where you're just like, it's cool. It's fine. Even though they might be taking.
And they've become mates since. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, very,
yeah, so I just kind of decided there's enough room for everybody. The world's a big place, Winona.
Mm.
And I feel that maybe she's not that great a friend if she's not kind of going, wow, Margot looks like really engaged, doing well, fantastic. Like,
But Winona's done all this hard work, like uprooting her life to move to the exotic city of Buffalo.
That wasn't Margot's fault.
No, it's not. But no. Winona did all that and did a lot of really hard work to uncover a lot of hidden places in Buffalo. Like, she was the one who Columbused all of that. It's like, so I'm just, you know, I'm sure they weren't totally hidden, obviously, but she was the one who was like, yeah, look at this amazing barbecue place or whatever. Nobody's heard of this place before, and I'm going to totally make it famous. And Margot is sort of parachuting in going, I want you to just bring me on a tour of these places, and then I'm going to do a write-up as if I'm the one.
But, okay, but let me change. Yeah, but, like, maybe I change it to I'm an artist, you're an artist, you become an artist later, and you come to Oxford and go, hey, show me all the best places, you know, to, you know, the places so I can paint and draw or whatever. And what, I go, no.
These are my spots that I scouted out.
These are my spots and they're mine.
You can't do plein air here.
Surely, actually, Margot could just go, well, no problem, because I have your fucking blog, so I know what they all are.
There's that. It's an element of, like, Margot could also have done a little research on her own first to be like, I've heard about this place, and this place. Can you take me? As opposed to, hey, Winona, dish me all your secrets.
They're not secrets. I don't know. I don't like Winona, actually.
Wow. Okay,
yeah, I'm dumping Winona.
You're not the jealous type at all.
No, I don't think I am.
Oh my god.
Actually, that's true. I really don't think I am.
That's amazing. You are a much better person than me.
Shut up.
No, you are. I would definitely be a little like an
I'll tell you what. I kind of think Winona could have done all that stuff without Margot. She wasn't inviting Margot to do Margot a solid. She wanted company during all of her food expeditions while she was in Beijing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and Margot went along for the ride, and there was a win-win sitch there.
That's very
but
true.
But it's not like suddenly going, oh, well, what do you know of this world? Well, fucking 3 years worth, Winona, because I went with you everywhere for fucking lunch.
Amazing. That's very true. Yep.
So, fuck you, Winona. Show me the places or this friendship is done. That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Reach out and review.
You can get in touch with us on social media. And we are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram and anything else you can find at stickypickles.com.
Bye, everyone.
I think that coffee just hit me that I just had just now. Thank you.
Do you want to say bye?
Bye. That's it for Sticky Pickles. Wait.
Do it.
Oh, can I do it? That's it for Sticky Pickles. I don't think our readers want to, our reader. Oh my god. Our readers. Oh, I'm so in the Winona Margot headspace that I was thinking of blog readers. That's it for this. I gotta stop saying it like that. Nobody wants to hear that. Like Sunday. Okay, that's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. That's it.
That is it.
And if we made you cringe, tell Kroll directly.
Oh, fuck this. You're shit at this. That's it for this week. That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you cringe.